And how do we exit from this pandemic? It's a question asked since the beginning, and the promise has always been that vaccines are the way out. If Australia had met its original COVID vaccine targets, around 6 million Australians would have had their first dose by now. According to the ABC's data journalists, the number is less than half of that, and the federal government is resisting setting new targets for mass vaccination, given the limited supply. But we've been told that the motivation to be immunised is to protect ourselves, our families and the community, and allow Australia to open up again, a prospect that, according to the federal treasurer, is a year away. The Kirby Institute at the University of New South Wales has modelled how we could best deploy our limited supply of vaccines for maximal effect. Professor Raina McIntyre led the research, which has just been published in a major international journal. Raina heads the biosecurity program at the Kirby. Welcome back to the Health Report, Raina.
Good evening, Norman.
Can you set out the parameters of the modelling? What you're looking for in terms of targets for what benefit did you build into your model?
So we looked at New South Wales as an example with a hypothetical epidemic that starts with 100 cases a day, which is sort of, you know, for example, in Victoria last year, there were 700 plus cases a day at the peak of that epidemic. So it's a, you know, substantial epidemic. And then we looked at what if you've only got a million doses of vaccine for 7.5 million people versus what if you had a full supply and could vaccinate everyone. So in the limited supply, we looked at the usual ways of targeting, which is giving it to particular age groups, and we compared younger people versus older people. We take it as a, took it as a given that you have to vaccinate health workers and other first responders, and really none of those targeted strategies will control the epidemic.
None?
Yeah.
So what do you get for your money in those strategies?
We don't yet know whether the COVID vaccines work as post-exposure prophylaxis, which is where you do your you have an outbreak, you trace the contacts, and you vaccinate people who are contacts and therefore exposed potentially to the virus.
So this is called ring vaccination. It's what they did to control the smallpox pandemic and epidemic in the end.
That's right. Yeah, in the end, they just couldn't achieve mass vaccination in some countries, notably India. And so they switched to this ring vaccination strategy, which is essentially contact tracing and vaccination of the contacts. And in that case, the smallpox vaccine efficacy dropped from, you know, about 95% to about 50%. So the efficacy was halved, but it was still enough to actually eradicate smallpox. We can't eradicate SARS-CoV-2 for various reasons, but the vaccine may well have some effectiveness in that way. And if there is an outbreak, then that is a good way to use a limited supply until we know. You know, Australia is in a good position to actually study this and collect data because we haven't been overwhelmed by large epidemics. And so...
So the current vaccine, we'll come to the... Well, I don't want to cut you out of talking about the modelling, but the current vaccination strategy actually does say that ring vaccination is part of it, but it doesn't seem to have been implemented anywhere in Australia at the moment when you've had, say, for example, like the current one in New South Wales is probably not a good one to take, but you know, the Queensland outbreak and so on, that there have been opportunities with very small outbreaks to do ring vaccination, but it doesn't seem to have happened.
I think I've read somewhere that New South Wales Health is planning on doing it. So, you know, we'll wait and see. Eventually there will be studies, there will be publications, research showing whether or not it works. But generally speaking, the principle is if a virus has a very short incubation period, ring vaccination probably won't work so well. But if it's got a long incubation period, which SARS-CoV-2 does, it may well have some effectiveness.
So what we're doing at the moment is a targeted, semi-targeted strategy where we're in it with a limited supply. As near as you're able to, with what we're doing now, does your modelling inform where we're going to get to with what we've got now, with what vaccines? Because we keep on talking, or people have stopped talking about herd immunity as if that's not a target anymore. Just unpick that for us and take us through it.
Well, I think if we're going to... At the current time where we've got limited vaccination, we can protect people who are most at risk of dying of COVID or most at risk of being exposed to it, which is your frontline workers and your older people, particularly in aged care facilities. But if a large outbreak happens, that's not enough to control it, essentially. To control it, maybe you can use ring vaccination, but otherwise mass vaccination is the only thing that's going to control it. And for that to happen, for mass vaccination to happen, you need an adequate supply, and you also need to achieve very high rates of coverage, as in, rates of vaccination in the population very quickly. If it's a very, what we showed also was that if you have a slow trickle approach, where it takes years, you know, maybe 2 years, 3 years to achieve high rates of vaccination, we're just going to be living with periodic lockdowns and restrictions and risk of outbreaks for much longer.
And risk of vaccine resistance? I mean, could it be that, is it a bit like antibiotics where you don't give enough and it gives an opportunity for vaccine resistance to emerge because you've only got partial coverage?
No, really, it's different to antibiotics. You know, antibiotic resistance arises usually, secondary resistance, which is the most common type, arises in an infected host. They've got the virus, the bacteria or virus in them, and then they have the drug. So, and that actually then, exerts selective pressure for the emergence of resistant organisms. This is different because a vaccine prevents infection. It's not treating infection.
How many doses a day would have to be administered if you're using your New South Wales model with what kind of vaccine to get herd immunity?
So I think anything from 60,000 doses above will get you to very fast coverage of most of the population. We're nowhere near that now. I think, at best we're maybe doing 60,000 doses a week. If you can do 300,000 doses a day, even better. That would give you very fast uptake. The speed of how vaccination matters as well. And to do that, of course, we need, the hubs are a really great thing that have started in several states, that plus enabling all the GPs to vaccinate. So at the moment, many GPs are only getting 50 doses a week, and that is it's a roadblock, in the sense that GPs often have thousands of patients who want to be vaccinated, and they can't vaccinate them because they don't have enough vaccine.
So your point is, when supply improves, we can unpick that one a lot. It's worth the prize.
Yeah. And we need to really enable GPs. I think in the end, we're going to need the hubs and GPs fully enabled, because we've done some separate research on flu vaccine, looking at where people get vaccinated, whether they get it at the pharmacy, in the shopping centre, or at the GP. And there's a strong preference of people sort of over the age of 50 to 60 to be vaccinated by their GP. So for older adults, I think it's really important that they can be vaccinated by their GP.
So we need to re-examine targets. Raina, thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Raina McIntyre is Professor of Global Biosecurity at the Kirby Institute at the University of New South Wales. This is RN's Health Report, and I'm Norman Swan.